The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazines. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from theteenmagazine.com and kidspiritonline.com. Our first article today from kidspiritonline.com. How can AI be used ethically? This article was written by Manoor Ali Pervez on June 3rd. Artificial intelligence, AI, is one of humanity's most promising innovations, poised to transform myriad facets of our lives, from healthcare and education to finance and transportation. However, as we tread deeper into the realm of AI integration, ethical concerns have arisen, demanding our attention. The responsible implementation of AI is not just a moral imperative, but a prerequisite for a sustainable technological future. At its core, ethical AI embodies a set of principles aimed at ensuring that the development and deployment of AI systems prioritize fairness, transparency, accountability, and societal benefits. The principle of fairness necessitates that AI systems be designed to mitigate biases, thereby ensuring equitable treatment across diverse demographics. Transparency demands that AI algorithms are explainable, enabling users to comprehend the rationale behind decisions made by these systems. Accountability dictates that developers and users of AI be held responsible for the outcomes of their creations, with mechanisms in place for recourse in case of unintended harm. Moreover, ethical AI upholds the paramount importance of privacy, advocating for the protection of personal data and the implementation of informed consent measures. Finally, the goal of ethical AI extends beyond individual interests to encompass broader societal impacts, aiming to leverage AI for the collective well-being of humanity. In our pursuit of technological advancement, the imperative of ethical AI cannot be overstated. First, an ethical approach to AI serves as a bulwark against the perpetuation of societal biases and discrimination. Without conscious efforts to address biases within AI systems, there is a grave risk of entrenching existing inequalities and exacerbating societal divisions. Take, for instance, the use of AI in recruitment processes. If left unchecked, biased algorithms could systematically favor certain demographic groups while disadvantaging others, perpetuating systemic discrimination in employment opportunities. Second, ethical AI is indispensable for fostering trust and accountability in technology. In an era marked by increasing reliance on AI-driven decision-making, transparency becomes non-negotiable. Individuals must have the ability to understand and scrutinize the decisions made by AI systems, holding developers and users accountable for their implications. Without transparency, there is a risk of eroding public trust in AI technologies, hindering their widespread acceptance and adoption. Furthermore, the ethical use of AI is instrumental in safeguarding individual rights and privacy in the digital age. The unchecked proliferation of AI poses significant threats to personal privacy, as algorithms sift through vast troves of data to extract insights and make predictions. Without robust safeguards in place, there is a risk of egregious privacy violations and breaches of autonomy. Therefore, an ethical approach to AI advocates for the implementation of stringent data protection measures and mechanisms for informed consent, ensuring that individuals retain control over their personal information. Ethical AI holds the key to harnessing the transformative potential of technology for the collective good. By prioritizing societal benefit over narrow self-interest, AI can be leveraged to address pressing challenges such as healthcare disparities, environmental degradation, and economic inequality. For instance, AI-powered healthcare technologies have the potential to improve diagnostic accuracy, optimize treatment plans, and enhance patient outcomes, thereby advancing the cause of public health. Transparency between AI developers and users would involve clear, accessible communication about how AI systems work, including the data they use, the algorithms they employ, and the decision-making processes they follow. It would mean providing users with understandable explanations of AI outcomes and the factors influencing those results. Developers would openly share information about the limitations and potential biases of their AI, as well as the steps taken to mitigate these issues. This transparency would also encompass regular updates on improvements and changes to the AI, fostering trust and allowing users to make informed decisions about their interactions with the technology. Ultimately, it's about creating an environment where users feel empowered and knowledgeable about the AI tools they use. To ensure privacy when using AI systems, robust safeguards should be established, including strong data encryption to protect information both in transit and at rest. There should be strict data minimization practices, collecting only the necessary data for the AI to function. Implementing rigorous access controls to limit who can view or modify sensitive information is crucial. Regular audits and assessments should be conducted to identify and rectify potential vulnerabilities. Transparent user consent protocols are essential, ensuring individuals are fully informed about how their data is used and stored. Additionally, anonymization and pseudonymization techniques can be employed to further protect personal information, making it difficult to trace data back to specific individuals. These measures collectively create a comprehensive approach to maintaining privacy in AI systems. Critics of adopting measures to enable ethical AI often cite practical challenges and trade-offs inherent in its implementation. They argue that the pursuit of perfect fairness and transparency may stifle innovation and impede the development of AI technologies. Additionally, they contend that the dynamic nature of ethical considerations makes it difficult to establish universal standards that accommodate diverse cultural and societal contexts. However, while it is true that ethical AI presents complex challenges, it is imperative to recognize that these challenges are not insurmountable. By fostering interdisciplinary collaboration and engaging with diverse stakeholders, we can navigate the nuanced terrain of ethical AI implementation. Rather than viewing ethics as a constraint, we should embrace it as a catalyst for innovation, driving the development of AI technologies that are not only technically proficient, but also socially responsible. The use of ethical AI, while well-intended, often grapples with the complexity of balancing fairness, transparency, and accountability against practical implementation challenges. Ethical guidelines can be ambiguous, leading to inconsistencies in application and potential bias. Moreover, the integration of ethical principles into AI systems can slow innovation and raise costs, making it harder for smaller entities to compete. There's also the risk of ethical AI being co-opted as a marketing tool rather than a genuine commitment to responsible practices. Consequently, while ethical AI is a crucial aspiration, its execution must be carefully monitored to ensure it genuinely upholds its principles without stifling technological advancement or economic accessibility. In conclusion, ethical AI is a moral imperative and a practical necessity in our quest for a responsible technological future. By adhering to principles of fairness, transparency, accountability, and societal benefit, we can harness the transformative potential of AI while safeguarding human rights and dignity. Despite the challenges and criticisms that accompany ethical AI implementation, the pursuit of a more just and equitable technological landscape is both achievable and essential. As we stand at the precipice of a new era defined by AI, let us forge ahead with a steadfast commitment to ethical principles, ensuring that technology serves humanity in a manner that is both empowering and ethical. Our next article from theteenmagazine.com, 3 Steps to Break Your Bad Study Habits and Stop Procrastination, Cramming, and Distractions. This article was written by Jason Hale on June 27th. For most of us, the school year is over, but in less than a few months, the onslaught of homework, quizzes, tests, and projects will inevitably begin again. Each coming year will present a journey more difficult than the last. Thus, in order to succeed, students need to practice effective study skills and, just as importantly, break their bad study habits. We have all been plagued at some point in our studying careers by the diseases known as procrastination, cramming, and distractions. In this article, we will dissect those poor habits and discuss how you can go about avoiding them. The Art of Procrastination. Procrastination has become so common that many of us wear it as a gauntlet, an emblem acknowledging our bad habit. To start off, what is procrastination exactly? When a parent tells you to take out the trash, most of us will undoubtedly say something along the lines of, "Yeah, I will do it soon." Then hours go by, and somehow this simple task you've been assigned has been pushed to the deepest part of your psyche. All the while, you carry on with your day blissfully. Maybe you even sit down to get some reading done. Right then and there, you hear the door open, and the one who assigned you the job is back. In an infinitesimal time, the memory that was lost gets transported to your frontal lobe, and that is when the alarms start blaring. Now, this was probably an unnecessarily long anecdote to illustrate procrastination. That may have been the point. But procrastination is defined as follows: the act of delaying or putting off tasks until the last minute or past their deadline. So, how can you stop yourself from doing this? For starters, if it is a small assignment, do not waste a second in getting it done. Homework should be a good example. Compared to the big assessments like tests and projects, homework can seem insignificant. One thing will lead to another, and eventually you will have pushed your "I'll do it later" to past the deadline. If you have time in class, try to knock out the homework as soon as you get it. If you have time during your daily commutes, try to complete some of your homework. Cramming. One notable thing procrastination leads to is cramming. In the context of school, cramming is when you do everything last minute, usually the night before an exam or presentation. Here is the number one tip to defeating this exhilarating but also terrible habit. Division of labor. It can be daunting when you are studying for a big exam that covers topics A, B, C, D, E, and F, the whole course for that matter. As soon as you learn of the testing date, start making your game plan instantly. Say you have 4 days to prepare for this assessment. One schedule you can follow is this. Day 1. Cover half of the topics and pick the ones you are most unfamiliar with. Day 2. Cover the other half. Day 3. Bring it all together. Skim your notes and try your best to draw connections to really cement the knowledge in your mind. Day 4. Take a mock test. See what you got wrong and understand the solution. For projects or essays, this strategy also works. A possible roadmap one could use is to 1. Outline your project/essay into all its components so you know exactly what you need to get done. 2. Brainstorm what topic you wish to research/collect themes and points you want to discuss. 3. Adhere to your outline and finish the milestones according to your timeline. 4. Optional. I always find it helpful to leave a day for revision. One day you might write something that you think is fine, but the next day, with a new set of eyes, you shock yourself by what you have crafted. Getting distracted. With so many platforms at your disposal to chat with friends, watch entertaining content, and play video games, there is no wonder why getting work done can feel downright impossible sometimes. That is why minimizing distractions is so vital to your academic success. One piece of general advice is to put all cellular devices as far away as possible, with the exception of the device you need to complete your work. This is good, since it limits the temptation from an easy act, such as scrolling through Insta reels on your phone. Trust me, I have been in that position. Another key thing is to silence your devices. When you hear a ding from your phone, it triggers a series of responses. The first could be a thought like, "Oh, my friend must have responded to that funny video I sent. Let's go see their response." From there, you feel compelled to dash towards your phone. The urge is so strong that you just do it. But as soon as you open your phone, you see a ton of other notifications. A new video by your favorite YouTuber has just been uploaded, and your favorite sports player signed with a new team. Ultimately, an endeavor that should have taken you 2 minutes max has led you into a perpetual cycle of online discovery. Although this may seem far-fetched, there is no denying the addictive nature of everything screen-related. A personal piece of advice I would give is to not listen to music while studying. I know this goes against what many, many people do, but my reason is just. When you are vibing to your favorite pop song or concerto piece, you are probably more focused on enjoying the music rather than concentrating on your work. Just the noise is enough to partially divide your attention. Music is wonderful, and I think it is more enjoyable when you can lay back and listen. But in a studying setting, your goal is to optimize the content you retain, and that requires you to put all your concentration into it. Good luck. I hope these tips will help you the next time you encounter another school challenge. It is tough, but remember that you are human, so mistakes will always be made. Do not beat yourself up over a poor grade. What is more important is that you analyze what you should have done differently and go from there. To put it simply, you should make mistakes in school rather than after it. Rest up this summer, because you are going to need it this coming year. Use what I have discussed, and to employ the phrase that is now commonly said, lock in. Our next article from theteenmagazine.com. Why are Colleen Hoover books so disliked? This article was written by Nikitha Mahesh on June 29th. If there was an award for the biggest switch-up of the century, the first-place winner would have to be BookTok. TikTok's bookish side and its love-hate relationship with Colleen Hoover have been nothing short of a roller coaster. If you've been on the internet any time during these past 2 years, chances are you'd be familiar with the name by now. Colleen Hoover is an American author known for her romance novels It Ends With Us, Ugly Love, and November 9. BookTok played a huge role in the commercial success of her otherwise deemed mediocre writing work. The vast amount of literary works produced by her would make one think that she has a relatively solid understanding of what tropes work and what doesn't, but this article begs to differ. The premise. To provide you with the exact context, this article has been written from the perspective of someone who has been on BookTok and the bookish side of the internet ever since BookTok was a thing. I was around 12 and is still on the bookish side of social media. A majority of Colleen Hoover's audience are readers looking back to go into reading, as well as 10 to 15-year-olds wandering on the internet. The coquette and the Lolita-esque aesthetics on Instagram and TikTok make it a predominant feature to display It Ends With Us. The cover is pink and tends to fit the aesthetic. However, the heinous content of the book often goes unnoticed by the users of the aesthetic. It Ends With Us. It Ends With Us is a novel that aims to explore the complex relationship between Lily and Ryle. The problem with this book is that while the notion of covering an issue like domestic abuse is noble and thoughtful, the execution of the book is in the trenches. The amount of trigger warnings and heavy content explored in the book with no prior intimation whatsoever pushed many readers off the edge. Colleen Hoover specifically has expressed her disdain for trigger warnings, stating that, as a fellow reader with my fair share of past experiences, I understand that there are issues some people do not want to read about. But as a writer, there are many things I don't want revealed in the blurbs of my books. But a book as emotionally heavy as It Ends With Us absolutely needs to have trigger warnings. Apart from the absolute lack of awareness regarding reader mentality, the lack of plotline in the book is sincerely confusing. The turning point of the story never comes, and all we see is a continuous cycle of Lily's trepidation about where she stands with Ryle and Atlas's savior complex. While Lily could be called a strong character, Colleen Hoover's internalized misogyny weaved into the pages of the book makes it difficult for me to come to a proper conclusion. There is no such thing as bad people. We're all just people who sometimes do bad things. The core message of the book seems to be the perpetration of toxic masculinity. This is intensified by the conclusion of the book. It Ends With Us ends with Ryle choosing to co-parent with Lily. The truth is, co-parenting isn't exactly a favor, especially when you're the father of the child. The most damaging incidents of the story include the fact that Lily had to be saved by another man, Atlas. This intensifies the savior complex arc that Atlas seems to revel in. Most victims of domestic abuse do not simply leave because there is another man waiting to take them in. They leave because they reach a tipping point and have been abused for far too long. The absolute lack of conclusion and the unnecessary side romance conquest simply add to the hate train this book receives. Ugly Love. There is something uncannily common amongst all of Colleen Hoover's male leads. As a Goodreads user puts it, coho male leads seek therapist first before hitting on women challenge. Impossible. Lust at first sight, coupled with an emotionally unavailable man, Miles, and the absolute definition of a people pleaser, Tate. This book truly was ugly in the sense that not just is the cover horrendous to look at, but the way Miles treats Tate is absolutely disgusting. People who truly enjoyed Ugly Love have a thing for toxic relationships. It is not too late to fix yourself. This book simply exemplifies the idea that all women should be doormats and that past trauma is a justification for your behavior. The absolute lack of a redemption arc for Miles and the general lack of plot for the story were truly disheartening. I truly never understood how having a female character become an absolute doormat with no self-respect could ever contribute to the plot of the book. What's more concerning is the ending. Miles indeed ends up falling in love with Tate. As stated earlier, the majority of Colleen Hoover's audience are young, developing minds, and reading books like Ugly Love perpetuates the idea in them that for a love to truly bloom, it has to be ugly. They could definitely end up romanticizing the idea of an emotionally unavailable man who is tormented by the demons of his past and even choosing to stay in relationships like that. This brings me to the writing style of the book. It was simply so dreadfully annoying. No, this is the writing style of the book. The cliched premise of the story, coupled with the lackluster execution, along with the half-dimensional characters, truly left nothing more to be desired. Conclusion. If you're a reader who's been looking to get back into the world of books, Colleen Hoover's books are not the place to start. I'll admit that I do own copies of It Ends With Us, Ugly Love, and November 9, and I'm certain that all of Book Talk has read a book or two of hers. The issues addressed in her books are worthwhile ones, but her portrayal of the characters always falls flat, and there definitely are better ways to go about disturbing themes in your book. Have fun on your reading journey. We've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138.